And Hebrews chapter 7 is where we're at. Hebrews chapter 7, starting in verse 23. Remember, this Sunday we've got door knocking, 2 o'clock. Be praying. We'll keep praying and preparing for the Bible conference. It's about a month away now, February 14th. And the Valentine's banquet, I think most of you guys here already know or are involved in it. But those tickets are $30 a piece. I had to get corrected for Sunday. $30 a piece. I guess I just said $30 Sunday, but it's per ticket. And that'll be on the Valentine's Day banquet. What else we got going on? Stock show, that's right. The Junior Livestock Show, the booth, coming up 2 weeks, I guess. The 30th through the 2nd. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23. The subject this evening is Jesus Christ, the sinless priesthood. And, you know, before I read this, I think, it's hard to imagine, I guess, life without sin. We have got so accustomed to preparing, to living a life around sin. I mean, you stop, you think about how many things you do just because of sin in the world and because of sin. You know, you got to prepare to die. You got to prepare to, what are you going to do with all your stuff when you die? You got to, health-wise, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff just because of sin in the world, just because of sin in your body. And, I mean, there are whole industries created in this world just because sin exists. I mean, we can hardly imagine a world without sin. But Jesus Christ, when he established the priesthood that was and is better than the Levitical priesthood. There are three things in these verses that I want to show you, and they all revolve around the fact that he establishes a sinless priesthood. But let's read these verses. Verse 23, it says, "And they truly were many priests." And I was talking about the Levitical priesthood. "They truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins, and then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore." I want to show you three things tonight about this sinless priesthood. And what Paul's done here is he's contrasted what a sinful priesthood looks like versus what Jesus Christ's sinless priesthood looks like. But let's pray, and we'll look at these three contrasts here. Father, thank you so much for your words. Thank you for everybody that is here tonight. Lord, there's several that aren't. I know Gary and Rhonda up and traveled to California, and pray you'd keep them safe. Give them a good visit with Rhonda's parents, and get them back here safely. Father, I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Do lift up those that are sick, and I know we'll be praying for them a little bit later on tonight too. But Father, for those that are sick, there's so many of them. I know Cynthia tonight. I know she's been sick since Sunday, and I pray that you'd heal up her body, take care of her. I know Mike's traveling. Pray you get him back home safely. And Lord, thank you again for Just bringing us together again tonight, I pray that folks would get something from you and get fed by you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, verses 23 and 24 describe a sinful priesthood and in relation to death. I mean, you know the verse, the wages of sin is death. And he said, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. All right, so Aaron, you take, for instance, Aaron. Aaron's a priest back there in the Old Testament, one of the first ones. He's the high priest, and his priesthood ends when he dies. Then you have another fellow who shows up, and his priesthood lasts as long as he lives, and then he dies. And so all of that priesthood under the Levitical law, under the law, was essentially subject to the wages of sin. It was subject to death. It would be limited in that. People would have to make plans around it. I think we've talked about it before. These guys would minister from 30 years to 50 years, and then they would kind of go into a sort of retirement in the priesthood. They wouldn't do as much as they were doing in the temple or the tabernacle there, and they would take on a different role. And then eventually they would die, and their priesthood would be over with. And no matter how good the priest was, they were always under the shadow of death. You got Samuel. Samuel is an excellent priest. He's a priest and a prophet. He goes around there for, I guess, 20 years at least in Israel, and he is God's prophet, God's priest to that nation, Israel, and he's a good man, and he's a good priest, but he still operated under the shadow of death. There was no way to get around it. There came a time where he would have to pass on the priesthood, and it would go to his children. And you read about his children in 1 Samuel, his children, they aren't any good. And it was just the nature of the beast there. You're subject to death. And so you had to make plans around that. And so that priesthood would be completely subject to the wages of sin. There was no way out of it under the Levitical law. But then Jesus Christ shows up. And then Jesus Christ, he essentially, you guys, this is a Wednesday night crowd, you guys understand, Jesus Christ lives a perfectly sinless life. He dies on the cross, he resurrects from the dead, and where the Levitical priesthood would stop, Jesus Christ's priesthood would start. Every other priesthood would stop at death. Samuel, when he died, his priesthood, as good as he was, his priesthood was done. He was no longer a priest anymore. As good as Phinehas, as good as some of these other guys in the Old Testament, as good as they were, when they died, their priesthood ended. With Jesus Christ, when he died, rose again from the dead, his priesthood began. And so his priesthood would begin where the others would end. Look at it in verse 23. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, talking about Jesus Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. I know you just mentioned it a while ago. It is almost impossible to imagine a life where we are not dealing with or living our lives around the wages of sin, which is death. There's not some preparation or some, you know, career or something that revolves around death. And even, you know, like I said, preparation, the will, all that kind of stuff revolves around death. But here's Jesus Christ. And his priesthood would not revolve around death. It would start after death. So he would die, he would resurrect, and his priesthood would begin where the other one could not go any further. you know, the wages of sin, put it this way, in his Jesus Christ priesthood, remember it's a sinless priesthood, so the wages of sin would no longer apply in his priesthood. There would be no more application of that in the priesthood. The wages of sin would be done away with in Christ's priesthood, just as death would be put to an end in Jesus Christ's priesthood. You think about the big picture is this: the law could only go so far. The law, the Levitical law, could only take a priest as long as he was living. His priesthood would exist in the law until he died, and then that was as far as the law could go. It couldn't tell him anything else to do. But Jesus Christ would go where the law stopped, and his would start there. So you get this verse in the New Testament where Paul says, so the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. As far as the law could go, that's as far as it could go. All right, where it stopped, that's where Jesus Christ picked up and says, all right, now we're going to go forward from here. It would stop at death, and that's as far as it could take a priest. That's as far as it could take a person, at death. So Paul said the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And literally, the Lord Jesus Christ's priesthood would begin where the former priesthood would fail. Where the former priesthood would fail, that's where Jesus Christ's priesthood would begin, at the point of death. And then it would start there in the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. And you guys understand all that, I think. The point is, he lives forever. And, we're here tonight because we serve a risen Savior, not a dead one. We're not looking at him on the cross anymore. We're not all that kind of stuff. We serve a risen Savior. He's out of the grave. He lives, like the psalm says or the hymn says. So the first point is this, in verses 23 and 24. The first point is, there's no more death in this priesthood. No more death in this priesthood. Jesus Christ's sinless priesthood would mean there is no more death. The wages of sin would have no more power in this priesthood. All right? Second thing, there would be no more separation from God in this priesthood. You think about this. Well, let's just read the verse in verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So this priesthood is one that brings people to God. What's the contrast? Well, the contrast is this. In the law, people weren't brought to God. They were separated from God. I mean, even in the architecture of the tabernacle, they were separated from God. People could only go so far, and then there was a wall of separation. There's a veil, and you're not allowed to cross that veil. You're not allowed to see God. You're not allowed to have any kind of communion with him. You just listen to what the priest says, or you listen to the prophet, but you're not allowed to commune with God. And it was even built into the architecture of the law. A physical, spiritual separation of God and the people. I mean, I think that makes sense to you. There's a physical and a spiritual separation. In the Old Testament, Isaiah said this. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So under the law, here's the contrast. Under the law, people were unable to get close to God. There was no way for them to get close to God. The veil was set up, the Holy of Holies was set up, and people were unable to get close to God, to commune with God. Anybody remember what happens when Jesus Christ dies on the cross? What happens to the veil? Things ripped from top to bottom. All right, so his priesthood is distinct in that under the law, people were literally separated from God. And then here's Jesus Christ's priesthood, where people are brought together with God now. They're put together with God. The law, like I said, was unable to bring anyone to God. In fact, the law made sure that man did not come close to God. The veil, the walls, the separation, all that stuff was, like I said, even built into the architecture of the tabernacle. But then here comes Jesus Christ, And he removes the separation. Look in verse 25 again. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I like that save to the uttermost. Uttermost is like you understand the word. It's like extreme. I mean, that would be a modern word for it. Extreme, you know. Save to the extreme there. He would save them to the extreme level of salvation. You know, it's one thing, you think about this, it's one thing for a person to be drowning and the Coast Guard to show up and pitch a life preserver out. And that person grab onto the life preserver. Now, at that point in time, they've got salvation in their hand, but they're still surrounded by danger. It's another thing for them to be pulled onto a boat and then pulled onto shore and then taken home to sit in front of a fireplace with their wife and enjoy dinner over, you know, whatever they want to do. At that point in time, you're not even close to the danger anymore. That's a picture of what Jesus Christ does when he saves to the uttermost. It's not like just a life preserver in the water. It's you've been removed from the water, you've been brought home, and now you're in no more danger of any drowning, no more danger of anything. You've been removed completely from any any possible residual effect of any of it. So there's no more separation from God in the priesthood. He saves to the uttermost. Not only absence of danger, but the presence of God and enjoying all his creation and blessing. I mean, he not only just takes you out of the water, but I mean, he brings you home, he cleans you up. And I mean, at that point in time, there's no more even danger of going back in the water. It's not even existing anymore. And then the other thing about saved to the uttermost, I think he talked about it in Acts where he said, you know, from Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world, it's like the outside edges, you know, the extreme edges of the world, so to speak, or the earth. And, you know, when it's interesting, you keep that thought in mind, all right? God goes to the extreme, the uttermost parts of the world there, the uttermost parts of the earth. Under the law, people could see a tabernacle. They could see where God was supposed to be, but they couldn't get anywhere near God. I mean, they knew he's supposed to be in there. He's supposed to be in the Holy of Holies, but they weren't, even though he dwelt in the midst of them, people could not commune with a God who's in the midst of them, though. Now Jesus Christ comes, and not only can the people commune with a God who's close to them, God goes out to find other people to commune with now. Now he goes to the uttermost parts of the earth to find more people. So it's not just the difference is this. Here's under the law. Here's God in the midst of a people, and they can't see him. They can't talk to him. They just have to go through the law. Under Jesus Christ now, not only can people talk with God and commune with God, but now God goes out to find people. It's a whole different priest. It goes well beyond what the law would ever do. And he makes intercession. The Bible says the intercession, he makes intercession for him. It's mediation. It's intervening on behalf of someone else. And so under Jesus Christ, not only was God communing with people, he was going out and finding people who were not in the camp, not in the city, not in the state, not in the country, not even in the continent. He was going out and finding more people to commune with. Whereas under the law, he's right there in the middle of the people, but the people can't get close to him. Under Jesus Christ, not only can they get close to him, but he's going to find him. I think you understand the difference. I mean, it's a completely, I don't want to say completely different, it's a better priesthood is what it is. So he makes intercession. He is, wherefore, Bible says, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And then lastly is this, in verses 26 through 28, not only would there be no more death in this priesthood, not only would there be no more separation from God in this priesthood, but there would be no more sin in this priesthood. Verse 26, for such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. All right, here's the deal. No more sin in this priesthood. Under the law, there was provision, and not only was there provision, there was expectation that the high priest would be a sinner. And so there were sacrifices, there was a process of sanctification for that high priest. He would have to perform his own sacrifices. He would have to get sanctified. And under the law, a sinner was made a high priest. And that was according to the law. It was provisional in the law. And so it was expected that sinners would be priests. And then you get to Jesus Christ. And he's not like all the sinners. And he doesn't need a sacrifice. And he doesn't need to sanctify himself. He is holy. He's sinless. And so under Jesus Christ's priesthood, there would be no sinners made priests. Before you jump on, just bear with me here. He would make sinners into saints. More so, he would make them sons. Okay? So priests wouldn't be over here under the law. Every priest was a sinner, and it was recognized that every priest was just going to be a sinner. Under Jesus Christ's priesthood, there was no recognition that anybody's going to be a sinner. You're going to be now a child of God. Look at what it said at the very end there, in verse 28. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. So the law recognized that priests were just going to be sinners. It's just the way it's going to be. But then under Jesus Christ's priesthood, here's what happens. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. So this priesthood under Jesus Christ would not recognize sinners as priests, it would recognize sons as priests, or his son as priest. He would be the priest as a son. So Jesus Christ's priesthood eliminates sin, so there's not a regular accounting of sacrifices anymore. There's no need for it. He offers himself as a sacrifice, and we're going back to one of the first statements is, where the law could not continue, where the law was limited, where the law was weak and unable to go forward, that's where Jesus Christ picks it up and says, all right, now it's my priesthood. I'm not limited by death. I'm not limited by the wages of sin. I'm not limited by separation from God. I'm not limited to sin in the priesthood. I'm not limited to any of those things. My priesthood is eternal. It deals with sons. It deals with bringing people to God. It's not separated people from God. It brings them to God. And this priesthood, again, Jesus Christ's priesthood would be better for those three reasons there. In this priesthood, God would only deal with sons and not sinners. So you don't need to make regular sacrifices to make sure the priest is okay anymore. You don't need to make regular sacrifices to ensure the priest is sanctified and able to go into the Holy of Holies anymore. Now you're dealing with a child. Now you're dealing with a son. There's not a sacrifice needed here. Now I'm going to deal with you as children of God. And so there's three things in those verses that really, when you get down to it, the law expected sin in the priesthood. And it only went so far, and it affected the priesthood the way it did. It made it temporary. And then you get to Jesus Christ, and He removes the sin. He makes the priesthood eternal. He removes the separation that was even built into the foundation and the architecture of the law. He removes all that, and His priesthood is above and beyond. It's so much better than the law now. I mean, how can you go back to the law and accomplish anything being in the law? He has already gone beyond what the law could ever do. Where the law was now weak and could not continue, Jesus Christ picks it up and He says, all right, the law ended here. The law's a schoolmaster to bring you to Me. And once it gets to Me, now we're going to go forward. We're going to deal with you as children of God. I'm going to take away the sin, the separation. You're going to be a son now. And this priesthood is going to be infinitely better than what was produced under the law. I mean, I think that makes sense. I hope that makes sense to you. You guys can see all those things where the sinless priesthood of Jesus Christ affected. So, I mean, this is just three things, but it affected so many things. It was a complete. I don't know if you can say complete change. It was a. Partly a continuation, but partly a like he says, a disannulling. It was okay. We've moved so far with the law. We can't move any farther with the law. We can't go any further with it. Now you come to Me, and now Jesus Christ's priesthood is going to take people where they need to go now. So the law is weak, and so if you can just imagine, I mean, Paul understands all these things, and he's dealing with people in Galatians and things like that, where they want to go back under the law, He's like, look, you can't improve on what Jesus Christ did. There's no way to go under the law and make things better now. He has already done the best anybody can do. He's removed the sin, the consequences of it. There's no way you can go back under the law and make things better. He made them better. And so those are all through Hebrews, really, there are several things about the priesthood, but these three, boy, when you start dealing with the consequences of sin and the consequences of a sinless priesthood, it's quite an eye-opener, and I hope that is